We are this morning. This is December probably 4th. Yes, it's my wife's birthday today. And so we're going to do something. This is on Felix this morning. We're doing a series here on Paul's testimony. And even though these things seem a little different, these have a lot to do with, did our testimony have to match Paul's? No, it doesn't. The way Paul was saved and the healings and all those things that he was doing. That was my point. We've been over that. But we still see Paul doing these things even up to this point. And we'll wrap it up here pretty soon. But today and tonight, this morning and tonight, I like to look at Paul's stuff because what he does have happen in his life does often happen with us. The people he meets, we meet the same kind of people. So we're looking at Felix this morning in Acts 20:23. And then tonight we're going to look at Festus. And I just guarantee you that we have, we all know Felix. We know him. So let's look at this Felix guy. So when I read through Paul's, I got a dog walking around in here right now. You think he could be quiet like he's been for the last week since we got him. And now he's just stirring around here. That's the way dogs are. He's been a good pal, though. So we're looking at Felix. We're just going to Acts 23. And we're basically just going to read through this thing with a few stop-off points. But let's just keep in mind here. Right now, Felix is the way he is, he's a Roman governor. Okay, so he's got some power kind of a thing. And he's got a Jewish wife. And Festus, it's a funny thing, and I'm going to really try hard to be careful with this thing today, but why is it important that we know that Felix comes to talk with Paul and Festus comes to talk with Paul, and both times they bring their wife, and when Festus comes, he brings his wife, and she comes in all pomp, and says there, comes with pomp. So she's all fancy-schmancy, you know, that whole kind of thing. And I think there's a reason for it. And it may be an underground reason or a hidden reason or whatever. It may be just my experience in life with people, couples, and with men, and doing a fair booth. There's something to do with a man making some heavy-duty decisions, and his wife's with him. And I think that's something that's in here for us to be aware of. And why else would he mention that their wives came with him? I mean, who cares? Kind of a thing. So we'll get to that here in a few minutes. But Felix is big on flattery. He buys into this flattery thing. And we know from the scriptures that flattery actually it blinds people. And, oh, hang on. I got to let the stupid dog out. That'll never happen again, believe me. So, this flattery thing, we know that flattery in Proverbs blinds children. It says blinds a person's children. So flattery is blinding. They think that they're really special. They think that they're very intelligent. They think they've got wisdom. Whatever it is that you're, they think they're an artist. They think they're a musician. They think that they're skilled on something. And I tell you, the schools they are huge on flattery. And I'm not. If they're going to be told that they did a good job, they're going to have done a good job under trumpet, et cetera, et cetera. Well, everything should be fine now, right? So, this is Felix. Felix actually thought Paul was innocent, but he didn't have the stuffins to deal with it and shut it down. He always passed it on. Same thing with Felix here. Felix understands the law. And he understands the law concerning Paul. He knows his situation, and they had nothing on the guy. And then there's a verse in here that says he had more perfect knowledge of that way. And that's a very interesting statement. So we'll look at that in a few minutes here as well. So let's get started here. Acts 23. Let's look at, let's see here, 24 there. Down to verse 24. Things are going on. Paul's already in a mess of trouble here. And it says here, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix. Okay, so they're going to bring Paul to Felix now. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, this is who's writing, saying, unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. You know, you ever hear the congressman at our congressmen, they talk to each other, the most honorable this and the most honorable that, and you get into the Masons and you get into the Grange and all this stuff, and you hear all those kind of phrases all the time, you know. Most excellent governor sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now remember, it was stated that he came with violence. No, he didn't come with violence. Just because you have an army doesn't mean you're going to do the violent thing. So there was a lie there so there will be a lie here coming up here with, what's his name there? Tertullus, there we go. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth unto their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. So Paul's innocent through this whole thing, and it seems like everybody knows it, but nobody has this stuff. You know, when we're talking with people, we're Christians, we're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about salvation, we're just like everything all the other Christians are willing to talk about. Same subjects, you know, heaven, and everybody just kind of accepts that. But we start talking about what we talk about, if we talk about it anymore with anybody, then they know, they don't like what they hear, but they see you flipping to the scriptures and they know that it's scriptural, they know that it's in the same Bible they believe, but they're just not going to go along with it. Anyway, so this is why I say that we're going to be able to learn a lot from this Felix guy. Okay, so let's go down here now. We go into, let's go into chapter 4 now. Let's see, you know, look at 35, 23 verse 35. Well, here they said, he, when thine accusers are also come, and he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment. So everybody's waiting for these accusers to come by. They've heard the charges, but they haven't heard them from the people themselves. Okay, 24. Now we've got this Tertullus guy. We've already talked about him, 2 and 3. Tertullus is big with his own flattery to Felix. Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness. You know, so Paul comes and disturbs these things. It's like talking, remember we talked about, this is like looking at your pastor. You know, Pastor, you've done so well for us, and you've taught us so well, and our lives are quiet. And then this Paul guy comes along and disturbs the quietness. That's what he's getting ready to do here. And that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by the providence. You've been a great pastor. The church is growing well. We've got new parking lot now. We've got better music. We've got electric piano, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. So we're very thankful towards our pastor. He's done such a marvelous time in our life. However, he says, notwithstanding, that I be not further tedious unto thee, you know, Pastor, I hate to bother you with such trivial matters, but this guy keeps talking to me about this Paul stuff. So there's where we're at. Then it goes on here. Listen to last week's sermon for those that haven't heard it. Verse 5 and 6 is exactly what people say about us or about Paul's teachings. A pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition. You know, we're going to take away the morals. The modern Christianity says you can't do this, thou should not do this, thou should not do that. And apparently Paul says you can. You know, so they think that we're going to spoil their morals. Mover of sedition, we're going to get people churned up in church. We're going to take the quiet and peacefulness away from the church people. And the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, we're in verse 5. And so we're ringleaders of this Paul stuff, you know. We're problems here. And verse 6, who also have gone about to profane the temple. You know, we're making the church a non-religious building. We're making the altar a table with statues on it, with a cross. We're taking the cross down from the wall. Bob, remember when we did that years ago. We're taking the holiness and the sacredity out of the church service. Everybody just seems to have to play church and all that. So So this is what they're complaining to Paul about. Anyway, that's Tertullus. Listen to the sermon from last week about that. And we go down to verse 5 here. He hears the complaints. Felix hears the complaints. This is just setting up the reading here. Verse 9, and the Jews also sent us saying that these things were so, but they never had any proof. Okay, so we get to this point with Felix now. He's the governor. He's heard all this stuff. He's heard churches come in here and lift him up and then show him how Paul is going to destroy everything that Felix has done in his governorship. And they bring Paul to him. Here's where Tertullus says in verse 7, it was great violence. They didn't come and get him with violence. It's just a typical lie. People lie to the pastor about what you taught. I didn't teach it. I see that phrase on Facebook sometimes, or people write it and they say, you know, Paul says you can do anything you want. It's okay to do everything you want. No, it's not okay. I mean, all things are lawful. But there's five strings attached. Okay, so there's one thing to remember. And two, they're not okay. Christ had to die on the cross, go to hell, for that stuff that we say is okay. No, it's not okay. It's not going to be imputed. It's not going to be imputed because, for one thing, there is no law that says it's wrong. But if it's going to cause somebody to stumble, if it's a power over you, if it's an occasion for the flesh, if it's not expedient and it doesn't edify, then yeah, it's not okay. And when you say to somebody out there, well, it's okay to do that, they just look at you and go, what? What are you talking about? Now that you're a Christian, you can go out and do this stuff? And it seems to me, when I see what people are doing, when I hear what people are doing, everybody seems to think, well, it's okay. Well, it's not okay. It's what a Christian should be doing, is what Paul teaches. The way Christian's life ought to be is a manner of life. And from what I understand, few people want to live like a Christian. A sincere Paul-following, risen Savior-following, Paul-learning, there we go, risen Savior following King James Rightly Divided Bible, do we still want to dress, act like Christians? Sure, we can be critical of 50 years ago when everybody got caught up in religion. Paul stuff still existed, but the Christians went to Paul's books and they went to live like a Christian. Okay, so they were doing it in the flesh. Okay, so they did have a religion. Okay, so they were doing it with the wrong motive. But they were doing it, at least on the outside. Okay, at least when people went to church or whatever, I mean, all this stuff. No, it's not just okay. It's not lawful. It's all things are lawful. But, and don't forget, Christ had to die in order to make that thing kick into gear. He walked the walk, and he did not sin. Okay, should that have been enough? Well, apparently not. Because when he killed, he shed his blood, and he imputes his righteousness. The fact that he walked the law, it's been paid for. So yeah, from that standpoint, we got to remember that. So here's Paul coming along and saying what he's saying to these people, and they don't get it. It's like profaning the temple. Who are we to profane their church? So if we attack their church, if we attack what they do, and we say, well, you know, following Paul, we can wear the shorts. We can go to these places. We can do this stuff. Well, yeah, you can, because it's not going to affect your salvation. It's not going to affect your relationship with God, unless, of course, you quit reading your Bible and quit listening to the truth as far as preaching goes and quit studying the Scriptures and trying to change, like Paul says, change from the, how's that go? Next page over there. From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan and the gods. If you're not going to stop, you're going to stop doing that stuff, then, you got yourself a problem. Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You don't want to do any of that stuff? That's shameful. Our flesh is going to fight it, just like Paul's did. But at least he fought it. He didn't just go, well, all things, I guess I can dress like this, I guess I can go there, I can do this, I can cause people to stumble, that's their problem. I can cause my relatives, my little kids, my nieces and aunts, I can call my friends, they can all realize that I'm no longer doing this anymore. I mean, no, that's not the point. Yeah, we lose it in the judgment seat. Yeah, but the judgment seat, come on, that's pretty wild stuff. I know it says that, but we just don't think about it. We don't have our affection set on things above anymore. We have our affection set on things on this earth. I can be just as guilty. That's where my miserableness comes, my depression, all this kind of junk, is because I'm setting my affection on this day, or people I know, or things that I'm doing, or things that other people are doing, or the community, the town, the economy, the country, the nation, the world, the politics, all that stuff. You get caught up in that stuff, and there is no reason in the world to ever put a smile on your face again. And walking like a Christian is going to be tough. It's just going to be tough. So this Felix guy here, see, he recognizes all that stuff with Paul. And Paul knows it. Paul knows. He just got done with Jerusalem. And now God says to him, well, hey, be of good cheer, Paul. Now you get to go to Rome. Get to go to Rome. Yeah, but they didn't like it in Jerusalem. Well, guess what, Paul? They're not going to like it in Rome either. Isn't that exciting? But he goes. Okay, anyway, get back to the subject here. Anyway, this is my little rant. Okay, so we're in verse 10. 24, verse 10. Then Paul, how are we doing on the website? Okay, good. 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered. And I like this. Paul always answers it this way. For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation. See, there's positive. It's a respect. He's not flattering. I know that thou hast been many years a judge unto this nation. How can that be flattering? It's just, he's just respecting him. I know that you've been a judge for a long time. You've been here for a while. I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. He was always happy to give his testimony. But notice it takes a little while, as ours does. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. So in other words, how can they prove him that he was profaning the temple? How can they prove that he was a mover of sedition and a pestilent fellow? He wasn't doing any of that stuff. You know, somebody says, well, you guys believe that such and such. I didn't say that. Well, yeah, all things are lawful, so you can do anything you want. I didn't say it that way. The kind of stuff, you know. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believe in all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. See, now today, people can't understand, they really cannot get their grasp on the fact that we believe that the final authority in the wisdom, in the knowledge, in the daily practice of our lives, in whether we're doing them or not, matters. It's not the point. The point is we believe this Bible to be the Word of God. Not the Greek before it, not anything after it. This is that which is perfect. This is from the mouth of God. Now, before we had the King James Bible, they had all these other Bibles, but God still talked to people in their hearts and their minds and had the prophets and the pastors and da-da-da-da. But when 1 Corinthians 13:10 says what it says, that's this Bible. They can't handle that. I mean, I'm hearing from the mouth of God. Yes, every word, every has or have or had or it is, it will, any word is exactly the word God wants. And if you look at it close enough, every word has a point to be made within that sentence. And we believe this is what's written, and he says in the law and the prophets. So, well, of course, he didn't have the New Testament yet because he was the New Testament. But what he had, he believed it, the written things that are written. So do we now that this has come to this point. And have hope toward God, which they themselves, the Jews, also allow, that there should be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So there was nobody believing in reincarnation that he's talking about. They know that God was God, and when you die, you're gonna be in front of God. So, you know, the Jews believe the same thing. As Paul was saying here, I didn't, you know, and herein do I exercise myself. This is Paul. He's going to talk about the resurrection of the dead. It's like today, people believe that Jesus died and rose again. Christians believe that. But some of them think he was married. Some of them think he was homosexual. Some of them think that he was da-da-da-da, a bunch of junk. But they still, like Paul says, hey, at least they talk about Jesus, right? Yeah, but now Paul gives us the way of God. That's the Jewish teachings. And he taught the way of God. Now Paul teaches the way of God more perfectly. More complete. There's more to learn now. since that Jesus Christ has risen. So now let's learn what Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, is teaching. Makes sense. Makes total common sense. But as soon as you talk to Christians, they go, well, why can't we just believe what he says in the Gospels? Because the Gospels were not written to the Gentiles. They were written to the Jews. Now, those miracles, signs, and wonders were carried out during the Great Commission. It was the Jews that were doing those things, and if somebody were to be saved as such, they could do that stuff. That's the Great Commission. No problem. But that's gone. We've been over that in the book of Acts before, too. Find that series in there. We're looking at what Paul here is looking towards the Gentiles. And he's just about to go to the Gentiles only. Not totally quite yet. Oh, it's just, you know, we're saying the same thing they are. We're just showing more detail. They don't want to hear the detail. Why don't you want to hear the detail? Because that means that your Bible has to be the Word of God. And it means you can't just go from Genesis to Revelation and claim all that stuff. My simple question is, why aren't you building an ark then if you believe that that whole Bible is written to us? Why aren't you following the law? Is the Sabbath a holy day? Is God in this temple? Is God in that building? You read through this stuff and it says, yes, he is. In some places it says, no, he's not. Acts says, no, he's not. Old Testament says, yes, he is. There's where your contradictions come about. Trying to make this whole Bible applied in your life, full of contradictions, huge contradictions. Then the other two guys wouldn't last on there. It's amazing. See? It's amazing, isn't it? The risen Savior talking to the Gentiles. Why bring in the other teachings other than to learn them? Just to see what the Jews had to go through and what's going to happen during the millennium. There's a lot of learning behind all this stuff. We go to Nehemiah to find out what it's going to be like to witness to people and build your wall up. We can learn from that. But what's applied to us is the risen Savior teachings through Paul. And pastors will not talk about it. They just won't. And it's a frustrating thing, you know, because it's too simple. Like Paul, come on you guys, I believe I have hope toward God. You also want to hear about the resurrection of the dead. I'll teach this to you, of the just and the unjust. Paul will teach you all the details about that. Why don't you want to hear that then? And he says here even, and herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. This is the verse that got me out of Ruckmanism right there. That means just, I read that verse and said, poof, I'm done. Along with the Paul stuff, I mean, but that just shows right there. Because this guy would say, and his people will say, and pastors will say, if I don't offend somebody in this sermon, I've not done my job. Well, it turns out that that is just the opposite of what Paul wants us to know. And so, as many people as I have offended, I offended on purpose, I guess, in the past, and I'm sorry about that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But that proves that I was following Baptistic, Ruckmanitish-styled teachings. And that's my fault. And I've burned enough bridges with that stuff. But he does also say to us, in meekness, the servant of the Lord must not strive. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves. You can't get them out. You can't yell at them. You can't get mad at them. Doesn't do any good. They will not get out of that snare except on their own. That's been the hardest fact for me to learn. And I'm still fighting it. But this thing about toward man, how can you be a void of offense toward God, a conscience? Well, you're trying to do the right thing. But toward men, that's rough. Because for one thing, you just tell people about Paul, you've offended them. But you're not offending toward them. You're not doing it on your own. you'll Christmas here. Christmas is coming. And you can go out there and you can attack people for believing in Christmas and the whole thing, and I'll guarantee you get nowhere with it. There's ways to deal with Christmas, and it's still hard. It's still a tough thing. But to be offensive towards somebody is not Paul's way. It's that simple. Yet they will be offended, and they will fight back to you. But you don't need to fight with them. Anyway, there's no more application here. But that's the verse right there. And then the verse is 1 Thessalonians 4:1 that got me started with the Paul stuff. So those are my two key verses. Anyway, now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had it against me. So if these people had something against Paul, they should have come to Felix and said, hey, I got this, this is what this guy has done. And they can't do it. In verse 20, or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So Felix, here's my point. Felix is hearing people complain, and he knows what Paul is. This is what Paul told to him. I haven't done anything wrong about it. This is like we tell people. So Felix wants to hear from Paul. Now, you've got a friend out there. You've got a neighbor or a worker or something. He's heard people complain about Paul guys, you know, the hypers and the mid-axers and, you know, and the people that stand on the street corners and yell and scream at people that they need to quit being a homosexual, a queer, if you want to get to heaven, all this kind of... They hear all this stuff going on. Or they just hear what Paul supposedly teaches. Yeah, you can do anything you want now, kind of a thing. So, you've got a friend that's heard all that. And this friend still wants to listen to you tell them about Paul. And by the way, this friend can be family member as well. Doesn't, you know, whatever. And when Felix heard these things, here we go now. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Now, what is that way? And more perfect knowledge, he knows more about it. He has a more perfect knowledge. Of what way? Is it Paul's way? He has a more perfect knowledge. So there's that perfect being used in the same fashion again. Knowledge of that way. If he's talking about, he knows, he understands Paul, what he's teaching, then why would he tremble in verse 25? So it can't be Paul's way. His a more perfect knowledge of that way has to be what Paul is saying about what the Jews believe. Hope toward God, resurrection of the dead, the written law and the prophets. Felix understands all that stuff. He understands it very well. Verse 14 says, I but confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, and then Paul explains what it is that they believe, and he's called a heretic for believing that way. Felix says, listen, I understand all this stuff. You're going to talk to this Felix guy of yours, your friend, just call him a Felix, and he understands Christianity. He understands what's been taught in the church. He understands baptism, Lord's Supper, and he understands all that stuff. He's a good Christian man from as far as the church part goes. This is who you're talking to now. You got friends like that you've talked to? Husband, wife, growing up children, neighbors, friends? They got the Christian thing down. What does that thing say? They've got, boy, I have a lousy memory, don't I? Oh, man. They understand this godliness. They have a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, they have no idea what Christ really has done because they don't have the risen Savior. They have this form of godliness. They're very religious, good people. Nice guys. I mean, probably a better Christian walker than you are, than we are. Well, they have to be because if they're not, they lose fellowship with God. We don't lose fellowship with God, so we can go off and do these things anyway because we know we don't lose fellowship. We know we don't lose our salvation. Now, our judgment seat is going to burn a lot, but ha, 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 that doesn't, you know, right now, this is what I have to be. I have to do this. I have to dress like this. I just have to. I have to walk. I have to do this. We have all sorts of justifications, don't we? But these people that are Christians, according to their godliness, they're better walkers than a lot of us are. So this is Felix. He understands the law. He understands these things from the Jews. He knows that. He's a Roman governor, but he still knows what these guys are talking about. And he does this. He defers them and said, when Lysias, whatever, the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So he's going to set this stuff aside because he doesn't want to deal with it either. Pilate didn't want to deal with it. Nobody wants to deal with it, you know. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. Well, that was nice of him. Well, why is he being so nice? Because he knows this guy's got something to tell him. So, verse 24, here we go. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, there we go, he's married to a Jewish lady, and Drusilla, come on, Drusilla. I wish I could think of the names of who are the names of the lady in the 101 Dalmatians? Cruella? Yeah, Cruella de Vil. Drusilla. There's names. There's another one, too. Drusilla, Cruella. There's some other ones out there. It's just, there's something. Why would he put this in the scriptures? And he came with his wife, Drusilla. See if I can find it just offhand here. With Festus. I look at my notes for tonight, but Festus comes with his wife, too. Where's it at here? And she comes in pomp, with pomp. Where's it at? I guess I can't find it. We'll run across it tonight, but it's in there somewhere. It's not far from it, either. I should be able to find this stuff, but oh well. My mind's on Felix this morning. Comes with his wife. Now, if you're going to hear this guy out, is it... a supposed criminal, and the whole spiel, you know. And he's heard what Paul has to say apparently a little bit here, and they can't prove that he's wrong. He brings his wife, okay, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, set that aside about his wife. Maybe I'm just being, you know, all I'm accused of here. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now, this is where we stop. For a little bit here. What caused him to tremble? Paul taught this guy some things. Now, since when is Paul's message ever one to cause trembling? We are told, you know, the grace of God. This is the dispensation of grace. Yes, it is. So we always talk to people with grace. We always give them the good stuff. The goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. We know that. But here's Paul. And he's talking to this Felix guy. And he talked about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Whatever it is, Paul said, this guy trembled. Okay, now, let's do a little check here, because this is about when Romans was being written. And this righteousness, what could he have said to Felix that would tend to get him to tremble? Well, how about this one? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Let's keep going here. Let's find some verses here that Paul talks about righteousness here. And this is in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul says some things that would tell a lost person to be scared to death. Talking to a lost person. Okay. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So Felix, you already supposed to know here something here. And he says in verse 20 that he's without excuse. It says in verse 21 that their foolish heart was darkened and they became vain in their imaginations. It says in 22 they became fools. And God gave them up to uncleanness, the lusts of their own hearts, because they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. They changed the truth of God into a lie. God gave them up to vile affections. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You want to reject God, Felix? Go ahead. Now, he could have very easily talked about the good stuff about righteousness. His righteousness imputed to us. Faith is our righteousness. That's fine. He could have said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death. Felix, you're going to die. From that standpoint. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. But Felix doesn't know that. Felix has never been told that. Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, verse 1, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, this could be Felix, because he's a judge, he's a governor, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, Felix, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And I just am sure that Paul threw in not just half of verse 4, but I'm sure he gave it all to him. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, Felix, treasurest up unto thyself wrath. against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And it just goes on down there. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And it just goes on all the way down through that whole thing. There's some tremblable things in there. Okay, and he talked about temperance. Well, why would temperance bother anybody? Well, temperance. Moderation, particularly a habitual moderation, regard the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. So, we have to remember, when Paul talks about temperance, and he does in the Bible, that it's moderation. Well, and it has to deal with natural appetites and passions. You don't dress temperance. You don't be sort of modest and sort of immodest. Kind of moderation. No. Shamefacedness there. Behavior. No. You know, half good, half bad. No. Going to events that are totally wrong. Well, I'm just there and being the Christian. That's moderation. No. Temperance is talking about natural appetites and passions. Eating, drinking, physical relationships and stuff, you know. So why would that bother Festus? Why would that bother Felix? Well, maybe he knows that he's extravagant with his eating. He's extravagant with his passions, with his physical relationship. You wouldn't even call him really. Maybe he's big into that kind of stuff. Maybe he's one of those governors that, like our Christian leaders, have gold faucets in their bathroom and in their doghouses and stuff. There's no temperance there with what they eat and their gluttony and all that stuff. That could cause them to tremble. I kind of have a feeling, though, that most of the trembling is because of what he said about judgment. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we all shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's still applied to a Christian. But maybe Felix guy understands all that kind of stuff. But after thy hardness and impenitence of heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Maybe that's some of the righteousness Paul talked about. God knows exactly what's true and what's not. So this Felix guy is somebody that we talk to, and we give him either the goodness of God, or sometimes we talk about the wrath of God to a lost person. That's the law still. It shows that they're a sinner. Galatians talks about this. There's all sorts of ways we could go talking with people. Not purposely offending them. It's going to offend them, but not purposely towards them. So back to Acts. And so Felix gets the same thing. And then after this, for some reason, I think I know part of the reason. I really do. He says, in verse 25, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, how many times have you had somebody say to you, that's interesting stuff, but, you know, I'll talk to you later about it. Well, some of them go to their pastor. Some of them are caught up in their busyness and they don't get it. Somebody told me 25 years ago that we're supposed to follow Paul's teachings. I laughed. I said, okay, I'll look at it some other day. Years later, what would it have been like for my family, for me, for my jobs, for my life, if I'd have caught on? Well, I know I would have had to resign then and there. But if I'd have done that, gone with Paul, who knows where this thing would have gone? Because you really don't know. Instead, I chose the life of preaching about music and all the struggles we had through all those years. One was working, no second income, and do all that sacrificing and all this kind of stuff. And look where I'm at. See? I mean, I have no idea what would have happened during that time. But this guy says, let's wait for a convenient season. I wonder what was so inconvenient about this. Well, verse 26, he says, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him, and wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he spent time with Paul, but he was hoping to get money for this whole thing. But after 2 years, this guy was waiting for a convenient time. You know, what I think it was inconvenient because Drusilla was there. That's just me. I know, it says he hoped also that money should have been given him, you know. People try to buy Paul away from him so he could let him go. No, they didn't get any money out of the deal. And it wasn't the time to... I mean, he trembled. He heard the message, and it hit his heart. But it wasn't convenient right there to say, you know what, Paul, that is fantastic, da-da-da-da, and drop it right there. And why do you say that? I never thought about that until Festus brings his wife and does the same thing. It's funny. These two guys both bring their wives. These two guys know Paul is right, but they don't do anything about it. They can't. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, why did he leave Paul bound? He told it. He gave him liberty. But because it made the Jews happy, he roughed him up a little bit. You know, when you're with some of these guys, and you're trying to witness to them about their risen Savior, and they say to them, you know, well, I'll talk about some other time. If they've got some friends there, or his wife is there, or the husband, I suppose they're talking to her or whatever, they'll kind of beat on you a little bit. They'll kind of laugh at you and mock you. Because it gives his friends a pleasure. This friend of yours knows what you're talking about, causes him to think. But he won't deal with it right then. And while he's waiting, he'll make you look bad in front of his friends. We all know of Felix. And you can give him all the stuff you can about Paul, but they want to wait till later. I've had a guy in town here talk to me about the King James Bible. He believes it's the Word of God. I've had a guy talk about homeschooling and the problems, talk about schools. We talked about Paul, understands all this kind of stuff, wants to get together with me and his pastor. And has it happened yet? Waiting for a more convenient season. How long do we wait? Well, I've never talked to him with his wife there, but I'm sure he's talked about it. And he was very interested. We talked for hours, which I'm good at doing. And yet, where's it at? And his two family members, a grandpa and an in-law or something, something like that, I've also talked with. And they all three say, we'll talk about it sometime. Oh, okay. When? So we all have a Felix. Do you have a Felix? I know that you guys have a Felix. And I know that there's somebody you ladies want to talk with. But they've blown you off. Hey, wait, let's talk about it some other time. In the meantime, you keep being their friend. You keep being there with them. And who's falling down? You are. You will be the one that will go downhill. Because of their influence on you, you want them to be your friends. You'll have to get closer and closer to be their way more and more. Before you know it, a year or two, you'll be dressing differently. You'll be acting differently. You'll be doing things with your friends. With this Felix or Felixette, to keep him as your friend, and to never talk about Paul again. Paul, Felix did this with Paul for 2 years before Festus comes and gets him. So we have our Felixes, and we'll talk about Festus tonight.